Thank you for an excellent worship set. Thanks for all your hard work. Greatly appreciated. Last week, Dr. Andy set us back off in Ephesians, starting with chapter 5, and with our break for Easter, and is looking at the I Am statements of Christ. Before I start my sermon, I thought I'd do a quick recap of Ephesians, because I've even forgotten what we've covered so far, so I'm sure you have, or just a little refresher. So here we go, the little catch-up. The story so far. Chosen by the Father. Chapter 1. Chosen by the Father. Our Father chose us in Him before He laid the world's foundation. Why? To be holy and blameless in His sight. We've been redeemed by the Son, Jesus Christ. Having believed, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit as a deposit that guarantees our inheritance. Amen. You can smile and say amen if you like. This is good news. Not excluded, but included. Once we were excluded, but now we're included. Salvation is God's gift to the world. It's God's gift to the world. And it's by grace, not by works, so no man may boast. The dividing wall of hostility has been broken down, and the mystery has been revealed that the Gentiles are heirs together with the Jews and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. This is what God has predetermined, predestined, before He laid the earth's foundation, that the Gentiles are heirs with the Jews. That is our predestination. That is what God predetermined. Hallelujah. And that mystery has been revealed and made known to us. And if we get anything today, if you remember anything from this sermon, please remember this. Paul's second prayer in the chapter 3, verse 14, I think. And he prays that we would comprehend the length, the depth, the breadth, and that we would receive and understand how much God loves us. That is the plumb line. That is the foundation. We must understand who we are in Him. Now, all that up to present is what God has done for us. And from this moment on, chapter 4 on, is our response to God's love, our response to His mercy, our response to Him redeeming us. And it's our response. How can I put this? We have an obligation. And that obligation is love. It's not dead works. This is something that we respond to because He loved us. And His goodness has been revealed to us. His will has been made known to us. He's rescued us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. And when we understand that, hello. When we understand who we are, we want to walk. This expression, walk and walking, is throughout the book of Ephesians. And it means how we live and how we live our everyday lives in the day-to-day drudgery from Sunday to Saturday, or maybe from Monday to Friday. It is how we live, to walk. It's a word that means how we live, how we act, and how we are, not in church on a Sunday, but every day, to walk and to live in unity, putting off the old man in its sinfulness, and putting on the new man in Christ Jesus. And Dr. Andy spoke last week to walk and to live in love by imitating our Father. That's what the chapter 5 starts out. Now, that may be a problem if you had a father like mine. I don't know what your earthly father was, but mine wasn't brilliant. And my picture of God has been distorted for many years, and that may be your experience. But don't let it be. If you had a great father, God bless. Amen to that. But if you were adopted, if you were an orphan, or you had a stepfather, or you had a bad father, don't let his human behavior put you off the character of God. Because God is our real Father. And he loves us. And he is good. Even when we're not. Amen. And this week, I'm talking about to walk and to live as light. As light. And next week, somebody will be speaking about walking in wisdom. So, that is the setup. So, on we go. I am a dearly loved child of God. Can you repeat this after me, please? I am a dearly loved child of God. That is the start. That is the start of chapter 5. And when we have these instructions for right living, and God is expressing us how we should live, it's always from the basis that you're a dearly loved child of God. He's not up there with a big stick, waving a finger, or going to hit you when you jump out of line. You're dearly loved children of God. And please understand that. I had a glass of water somewhere. Thank you so much. So that is something that's imperative for us to understand, that we're dearly loved children of God. Is it?
Screen
saver. Another Alfa Romeo. Another Alfa Romeo fan. Sorry about that. So, all my sins are coming out. Okay. So as a little introduction, I probably got the timer on, so please forgive me. It's just to keep me humble with bringing my Windows computer in and say how much better it is than the Mac, but there we are. So an introduction that will help us understand the context of chapter 5. In Ephesus, in this time when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, the temple of Diana, the goddess, the fertility goddess at the time, known as Artemis, was the hub of Ephesus. This is where everything sprung from, this wealthy place. And it wasn't a very nice place. But it will bring into the context of what Paul is speaking about. It was home to Diana, the fertility god. It was one of the 8 ancient wonders of the world. It was a museum, apparently a place of culture. And the city was built upon this cult and this temple, who was a pagan fertility goddess. The temple was full and rife with prostitution and every sex, acts and debauchery you can imagine. It was for sale and it was looked upon as a good thing. People made a living by selling idols and prostitution. Also, it was a sanctuary for every unsavory character for the surrounding areas, because there was a very strange law at that time. Within a bow shot of this temple, nobody could be arrested for any crime. So every lowlife and vagabond surrounded himself near these building. So it gives us a taste of the context which Paul is addressing the Ephesians. This is the context of the Gentiles who became that church. This was their background. Okay? Some of you may have been in the church all your life. Some of you may be from a different background. I got saved in prison. I was a drug addict. I was a criminal for many, many years. And we all come from different backgrounds and different places. But this is the background, the Ephesian church, the Gentiles, who Paul is addressing. So it will help us to understand. So next, he goes on to say, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things the wrath of God comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Father God, we thank you for your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's just as irrelevant for today as it was when this letter was written to the Ephesian church. I pray through your Spirit that you would convict us of our darkness, that you would encourage us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would meet us where we are. We're all in different places with our walk, our life, and experience with you. But we all love you, and we want to do the right thing. So through your grace, through your truth, and through your mercy, speak to us, we pray, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. So that is the background. That is where we are. Now, before I can go into what he's telling us not to do, I think I have to read a couple of verses from last week, because it sort of split up mid-sentence. So I won't go too much into it, but I will speak out. But among you, verse 3, there must not be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Remember that. But rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Wow. Well, the context of that, Paul is clearly speaking about people that were habitually living this way. They were doing it by choice, and these were former people that this church used to associate with, and he's telling them not to mix, do not backslide, do not go into your old way of life. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't associate with them. Don't partake with them. Now, let me say this. If there's anybody struggling with porn, immorality, adultery, of any kind, I have some good news for you. Stop it. Stop behaving that way. It's not right. It's not right for God's holy people. Turn around. Make the decision today. It's a decision. We have the power through God's Spirit to overcome. So stop doing it. Ask for God's help and he will help you. See, the difference is God is not only explaining to us and asking us not how to live. He shows us how to do it. Rather than indulge this way, we're to give thanks. It clearly says the people that are mixed up in this way, they're idolaters. They love their lifestyle more than they love God. So what do we do? How do we change around? Because when God saved me, my life was alcohol, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Really was. I know it's corny. And it was a pit. It was terrible. It was darkness. It wasn't fun. It sounds good. It's silver-coated. It led me to prison. It led me to desperation. It led me to darkness. And it's horrible. And God gives us the power to turn our lives around. We have the power to do that. It's not right for God's people to live that way. We don't have to. How do we turn it around? We give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you for your power. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. We're not perfect, no. But we're not what we used to be. Amen. We have the power to overcome. So, here we go. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Do not be partakers with them. It is specifically addressed to those deliberately and persistently living in sin. But there's also a stark warning for us. So don't decompartmentalize this scripture, thinking it's for somebody else. Because we're all, like sheep, have a tendency to go astray. We're all, until Jesus comes back for us, have that tendency to wander. And Paul is telling us not to do it. See, at the context of this, there were Gnostics around that were saying, only the spirit is the pure part of the body. The flesh doesn't count for anything. It is sinful. You know, so indulge all you want, but your spirit is pure. There is some people today even say, well, but where sin abounds, doesn't grace abound more? Yes, it does, but it isn't a license to indulge. That's the wrong question. I did the Teen Challenge program in the United Kingdom, and a great friend of mine, he used to have this Matthew Henry's commentary out. He'd score verses out in Romans. He'd pick verses from here, from there. For what reason? So he could go out, indulge in his sinful lifestyle, and rely on God to rescue him at the last day. It's a wrong question. It's a wrong question. It's not right. How can we be light if we're indulging in darkness? They don't mix. Okay, enough about that. See, it's not fit for ambassadors and royalty to indulge, and that's who we are. Who are we? Yes, true. We're dearly loved children of God. Let me ask you one more time. Please just indulge me. Who are we?
Dearly loved children of God.
That's who we are. And that's our identity. It's not fitting for us to live that way. If you've never lived that way, hallelujah. If you used to live that way, and now you don't, amen. If you're struggling with that lifestyle, turn around. There is a way out. Got some good news. We can look to King David. When he fell in adultery, even murdered to cover it up. And he was forgiven. Yes, he was. That's what my friend Rob used to say. Look at this guy. He said not only did he commit adultery, he murdered a husband. So it's all right. Well, yeah, he was saved through God's mercy. But there was dire consequences. Dire consequences. Their child died, and there was a curse on his family for centuries. See, the problem is, when we indulge in darkness, we don't just hurt ourselves. We destroy those who we love the most. They suffer probably more than we do. Started with a look, it went to a thought, then a plan, then to adultery, then murder most horrid. Most horrid. Sin doesn't get any better. Small sins lead to big sins. It gets worse and heavier. How can we play with fire without getting burnt? There's always a price to pay. Do not be partakers with them. Do not do it. We are God's children. We're not orphans. We've been purchased through his blood. And that was a great price, the blood of Jesus. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He said that. You are light in the Lord. You grab that statement. You and me are light in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We are his lights in the world. We are not the light, but we reflect his light. But we are light in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? We cannot reflect light if we're indulging in darkness. Light and darkness do not mix. We are not to dim that light, but we are to reflect it. I noticed from my own behavior, and when I was preparing this, I just realized how many times I fall short. One of the things that drives me mad the most is when you're driving in Skopje, and some of the habits of people, I have an advanced driving license, and some of the maneuvers people do here, and I'm just thinking, nobody cues. They're all pulling in front of me and I'm raging. And I'm just thinking, whoa, aren't you supposed to be light this week? You know? And you know what I did? I'm going to confess now. You know what I did this week? I did the very thing that I despise that the drivers do. I went to the garage. I have played in my Alpha. You know, gas, LPG. And they were all queuing this side. So I pulled my car the other way at the other side so I could be served first. And got out, and he served me first. And as he was putting the LPG in, I just thought, what a hypocrite. I thought, oh Lord, have mercy. What light was I? I know it's not a big deal, but you know, if we're not faithful in them little things, I just thought, I was convicted. I thought, I'm doing the very things. Starts out small, then little things. Well, you know, we get dull the edge of it, and they just grow and grow. So that's my confession. Am I pressing this backwards and forwards? Okay, there we go. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Rather than spending time in indulging ourselves, sin, self in need, me, myself, and I, that is idolatry. That is me first. That's what I was doing in the gas station. That's what I was despising when people cut in front of me at the traffic lights, don't want a queue. It's me first. That's idolatry. That's basically it. I'm more important than anybody else. I don't worry about being a light. I don't care about God. Me. Selfishness. So what does it tell us to do rather than do that? It tells us to be thankful. Way back, to be thankful. Give thanks in them circumstances. When we concentrate how great and how good and how merciful God is, and what does it say here in verse 10? Find out what pleases the Lord. So don't find out what pleases me. Spend time what pleases the Lord. How can we do that? Well, we can do it many ways. I do it researching and reading and doing sermons. Praying, worshipping, spending time with God, having good Christian friends. That's very important. There are just some ways of doing it. There's many ways to find out what pleases the Lord. And God shows us the way to overcome this type of behavior. I find that wonderful. I hate anything more than an instruction telling you what to do, but how to do it. You know, Microsoft instructions, they're terrible, aren't they? But you know, why and how? That's what I love. Okay, here we go. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. I want to tell you a true story now. It happened in England, and I'm ashamed to be English or British, if you like, because I'm half Welsh. But this is a true story. I was at a conference, a church conference. I'm not going to name the denomination because of shame. But I was at a church conference, and a couple of friends of mine are pastors within this particular denomination, and they have like a harvest festival, like what you say, Thanksgiving, and they all go away together on a conference. They meet in the big top, everybody sings and worships. There's different programs going on. It's a great place for encouragement, to bring your unsaved friends, and just really hang out with Christians and have a great time and receive some really brilliant teaching. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Well, there was this women's night one night, and the porn channel server overloaded. But all the women were out at the big top. The server on the camp couldn't handle all the porn channels being switched on. And that's a true story. It came back to the leadership of the church, and they were laughing. The camp people, not the camp people, but the people who, this venue. What darkness to shine. What a witness. Isn't that terrible? That's a true story. That's terrible. Do not partake in dark deeds, in talk that leads to action, because talking leads to walking. Sin starts out small, and it doesn't get any better. It grows and grows. How do we expose them? Well, one way, it's not about going and saying, what about you? Ooh, I was fine. Start with me. Start with ourselves. I think that's a good place. Well, one way is to confess our sins and weaknesses to each other, to pray together, to repent. And I think, you know, it does something really great. It brings something out of the darkness of your heart, and it brings it into light. Because we all struggle with something, right? We may not struggle with the same things. So I think it's really great if you can find a Christian friend, wives, not your husband, and husbands, not your wives. Find a friend that you can talk to and share. Of course, share with each other. I'm not telling you not to share with your husband and wife, but I'm not saying load everything on each other. Find somebody else. Bring somebody else into your world, into your circle. When I first became a Christian, I looked at the church and it seemed so perfect. All these perfect, shiny people. I thought, how could I ever fit in? Somebody so sinful and horrible as me. And in our weakness, and in our weaknesses, we could be real to other people. And it's the weakness that can attract people to the church. It really can. And don't misunderstand me. I think you know where I'm going with that. When I mean weakness, I mean transparency. And I mean honesty. Now don't dump all this onto somebody that can't handle it. You need to pray and choose them friends carefully. But I will say one thing. Are we friends to other people? Are we available to be that ear? Because I was challenged as I was preparing this message. I do have them friends. It took time to develop and trust, but I would encourage you, especially people that travel with embassies and go from one country to another, it's quite difficult. And we can become these people with this sort of exterior wall, and we don't let anybody close to us. We have that, yeah, yeah, amen, praise God, hallelujah, goodbye. No, we need to be real with each other. Think God, who's created the eye, cannot see? Who are we kidding? So, I think that's the way, one way. Goes on to say, for it is light that makes everything visible. This way it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Time is short, my friends. I got cancer last year, praise God. I've overcome it, I think. I'm cancer free. But my outlook changed. When I thought I might die, I thought, wow. I wish I had said sorry to him. Oh, I wish I'd done that. You know, I think eternity is in the heart of man. So we think we've got forever. We don't. Time is short. Don't waste it in darkness and garbage. Why? Because we're children of God. Let us wake up from our sleep. Wake up from our darkness. Turn around. Make a decision this day. It's not condemnation here. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This might be a hard message, yeah. It was hard on me to prepare it, but it's God's word to us, just as much as every other encouragement. So maybe today is a time that we can change our behavior. That we can make a decision. We can draw a line in the sand, saying today, with God's help, I'm going to change. I'm going to overcome that darkness. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to seek God. Make a decision today, friends. Time is short. There we go. Oh. I've missed the conclusion page. I must have saved the front slide. I've got two of them. Right, the conclusion is, number one, I'm a dearly loved child of God. Do not be deceived. We are no longer in darkness. We are what? We are light in the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Wake up, arise, and shine. Because he is risen, we celebrated Easter. We have the strength to wake up from our slumber and shine for Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Dear Father God, I just thank you for your word, for your truth, for your Holy Spirit that convicts us, but never condemns us, so we may become light. That we may be light in this world. That we wouldn't be darkness. Because light and darkness don't mix. I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters, if they're struggling, that today would be a day in their experience where they can draw a line in the sand to anger, to lust, to anything that they may or we may be struggling with. And through your grace, through your truth, through thankfulness, and through seeking your will for our lives, we may be different. That you would fill our cups, that we would shine bright in this dark world. because we ask it for Jesus' sake, for your kingdom and your glory. Amen. Thank you very much.